Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, hello there. You've found another episode of the Video Nasty Project. Tonight, three-time repeat offender Jess Franco is back with another nasty. Tonight, we're watching Women Behind Bars. Let's roll the trailer.
L'histoire d'un hold-up sensationnel, aux conséquences tragiques. Un film violent, actuel.
Arrêtez! Shirley, viens dans la voiture. Quant à vous, colonel de Briesse, retournez dans votre putain de prison.
Bienvenue dans cette prison, mademoiselle.
Sortez immédiatement! Allons! Non, toi, tu restes ici. Allez, viens, toi.
Bonne chance, ma vieille.
Tu vas me dire où sont cachés les diamants et en vitesse! Sinon, je te crève. Alors, pars!
Je ne sais rien!
Fous-moi, Lee! Je vais te rafraîchir la mémoire!
Je ne sais rien!
Cellule de punition. La vie dans une prison de femmes. Les disputes entre les prisonnières entraînent la répression, la torture. Par crainte de punition sadique ou de violence, les prisonnières cèdent aux désirs vicieux du directeur de la prison. Alors, tu décides à cracher le morceau ? Hein ? Lina Romay et Ronald Weiss sont les protagonistes de cette histoire vraie, violente.
Où est Laura ?
Elle est chez le directeur, c'est son jour.
Seigneur, bénissez notre repas. Une fois de plus, nous te remercions de nous avoir accordé notre pain quotidien. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Donne-moi ce papier. Donne-le-moi tout de suite, ou tu le regretteras. Garde, emmenez-la en cellule de punition.
Roger Darton et Martin Stedil vous feront vivre l'histoire d'une cellule de punition.
Oh, c'est une odeur sensationnelle.
Je te veux.
Tu leur dis ça à toutes? Sale vicieux.
Tu as planqué les diamants.
And that was Jess Franco and Women Behind Bars.
Help. Let me out.
I'm locked in with Jess Franco. Let me out of here.
I'll give the movie this in that it is very unique for a Jess Franco movie because it's 50% jewel heist and 50% women in prison movie. Unfortunately, both 50% suck.
Which is not unlike a Jess Franco movie.
No, that's 100% Jess Franco.
I've seen a few of his movies that are good. Unfortunately, I can't remember the titles up.
Which right is, seems to be the theme here.
But I've seen a lot more movies of his that are kind of meh or bad.
The movie starts out really strong with this
jewel heist that's going on. There's these four guys in a in white masks, and they're busting into this junk that is down in the Italian harbor off of the French Riviera somewhere, Italian Riviera. And so the four guys, they're getting away, and during the getaway, one of the guys betrays his other two friends, or his other three friends, and guns them down, runs off with the jewels, or so we think. Gets back to his base of operations, and that's when our lead character, Shirley, guns him down. She thinks he's cheating on her. Like, oh my god, you're cheating on me, you man, and totally murders him.
She actually looks kind of startled after he falls down dead. I think she might have intended to wound or to frighten, because she looks like she has an oh my god moment, like, what have I done? And then she's like, well, okay.
And then seconds later, she goes over to the phone and calls the police and says, I just killed my boyfriend in a crime of passion.
Mm-hmm. Which is why she's shocked, because clearly she didn't mean to do it that way.
So they come and they take her away and have a quick courtroom session and drop her into prison, a.k.a. women behind bars.
It's a converted manor house.
It's more like a reformatory than a standard prison.
Yeah.
It's hardly this maximum security facility. It's more of a chain link fence that you could easily climb over and get away.
It seems like there's only like six male guards and a woman guard, and that's it.
Well, there's only like five inmates, so I guess that's an appropriate ratio.
Yeah, it's like 15 women or something like that, and they were all basically clad in nothing but like jackets and clogs or high-heeled platform shoes.
So the warden, he's all like, I know that you know where the diamonds are. Why don't you make a deal with me and, you know, your prison sentence will be light. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just murdered my boyfriend because he was fucking another woman. Fine. Let's give you the full measure of, and he goes and tortures her for the next 45 minutes or so.
Yeah. The warden, incidentally, immediately comes off as complete greaseball. You know, he has this douchebag aura, like, the moment he walks in the room. He kind of reminds me of, like, Anton LaVey.
He reminds me of a little bit of Wolfman Jack with that beard. And,
yeah.
He looked a little bit like Drax from Moonraker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, him too. The warden basically has one of the inmates that he's got as his mistress, and he sets her up to be a spy on Shirley.
Go in there and befriend her, get in her good graces, and we can split the diamonds and I can commute your sentence.
She does a little more than just become friends.
It's a Jess Franco movie. They're going to writhe around on the bed totally naked while Jess zooms in gratuitously on their vag.
So let's not forget the insurance salesman who comes into the prison to talk to Shirley.
Also, ostensibly the narrator of the piece, because it opens with his voiceover and he's describing what's going on, and we kind of follow his through line through the movie.
So he comes into the prison on several attempts to talk to Shirley. The last time he comes in, he's completely rebuffed by the warden. He doesn't want him anywhere near her. He's just tortured her to try and get info about where the diamonds are by placing taping wires to her thighs and the tips on her vag, giving her electroshock several times. And he thinks he's making headway, and he doesn't want anything to interfere with his efforts and stuff.
Also, the insurance agent wants the diamonds back for the rich millionaire, so he's an actual legitimate threat from a actual legitimate body.
He's competition.
Yeah.
Then you've got the spy doing her little bit of work, too.
Yeah, and the things don't go very well for her.
No.
She ends up getting a midnight throat, throat tie party.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty decent, well-shot, kind of intense scene where she's getting strangled on the bed and Shirley and Shirley's buddies behind them just choking the hell out of her.
That does alter Shirley's character, because we're running under the assumption that what she did at the beginning of the movie is a crime of passion where she didn't have control over her hormones. Then she goes and does this premeditated act, which proves that she's actually a stone-cold killer. But they never actually follow up on her death. Nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
It's never has redress.
Well, the death happens kind of towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It starts accelerating. Shirley makes her break after that point. So they don't really have time to address the fallout.
But I think it would have made it even more intense if they'd found the body right before she escapes and that the guards kind of, you know, orchestrate a search around for her before she gets to the warden. And maybe they could have had a shootout or something because she clearly knows how to use a gun. I mean, she did it more than once.
Or maybe a chase scene or something.
Something. I mean, she's clearly adept with a gun. She shot her boyfriend, then she shot the millionaire or whoever it was, the older man that came with the insurance salesman at the end. Mm-hmm. And
played by Jess Franco.
Oh, okay. So a Jess Franco cameo. So she gets to shoot her, basically her boyfriend.
And so you've got this power play dynamic of everybody wants the diamonds. Everyone wants Shirley to give up the diamonds. And so everybody's backstabbing and counter-dealing. And it turns out that, in fact, Shirley had the diamonds all along and was playing a long game where, you know, hey, I'm going to spend a couple of years in prison for manslaughter and not stealing the jewels. Once I get out in 2 or 3 years, money. Yep. And she splits it with the insurance dude, who is also in on the game.
And younger, which is one of the reasons, of course, you know, knocking off an older man and going off with the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty standard drama fare.
So the movie could be interesting. It's got enough components where it's like, I kind of want to see the heist, and I don't really want to see the up-close blurry vag, which Jess Franco is a horn dog and does nothing but for the middle reel of the movie.
Franco is like going in too many directions in this, and he's not focusing on one thing or the other. And that's one of his biggest failings in this one.
As pornography, it fails to titillate. If you're looking to just wank one out at that thing, you're going to be sorely disappointed because it's all blurry and out of focus and underexposed. And
there are some good sequences with like full body shots where you get some actual good nudity. But they're like full body shots and they're usually in the distance. And I actually prefer those because you can see the woman's face, which, in the case of the two women that are naked, is actually quite appealing. But on the other hand, when there's sex stuff going on, it's really not all that good as sex stuff.
And well, yeah, it's because it's presented by Franco as lesbian sex that doesn't really titillate in the way that you would expect, because I don't think he really knows how to make that good.
There really isn't any chemistry between the two women partners in this one. I mean, it's very mechanical for them, and it fails because of that. One of the things I did like about this is the location, which was lovely. It's like, it was a beautiful little town. I wanted to go to that town and wander around.
That tunnel that they walk through all the time back and forth from the prison to the villa is a reasonably well-lit, well-composed shot every time it shows up. So it's like, okay, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like the fact that it looks like something out of a comic book, that you've got just this one square area and these backlit, you know, shadowed people walking through, and the rest of it's black, and it's like you can't tell where the hell it is, and it's really freaking creepy.
Also, while we're going down the list of things that I enjoyed about the movie, I did like the music.
It was good music, you're right.
It's this kind of jazzy, sultry, sexy. If we were actually watching good porno, this would fit very well with the visuals. It almost feels like you've got the movie smoked a pack of Camels and like just
I will comment on the music. So last night I watched Cannibal Terror, which has, to my mind, some of the worst, by contrast, music, especially the native music, which is this synthesizer,
it's
pretending to be something done by natives, and it's the weakest, you know, what the hell? Were they? What kind of crack was the guy that composed this, you know, smoking? You know, talk about a contrast, Jesus. I'd rather watch this movie 1,000 times than have to watch that one again, and just for the music.
But yeah, generally, I like the music. So the movie does have merit from time to time.
I mean, it's got a definitely atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception being, I think, the torture room, which just didn't look very threatening. It was just dark and gray. And, you know, it didn't have any blood stains, really, or any chains hanging off the wall, or no torture devices other than that electroshock thing.
There was a scene that I thought was rather funny. There's a brick. Everybody's at breakfast, and there's all the inmates, and the warden is saying grace, And the inmates are going along with it and frequently saying amen, and they just seem horribly unenthusiastic. They just are like, oh, we don't want to be here. We want to get this over. It's just funny seeing all of the reactions from these different women, and it's all pretty much the same reaction, but there's different facial expressions, and it's just like, oh God, do we have to say grace again and say amen again? And it's just, it's really kind of amusing. It's actually my favorite sequence in the whole film, just because of the weird non sequitur humor of it.
Well, the thing that threw me about this movie, it starts off obviously in the 70s, and you got guys running around in bell bottoms and in these pig masks, and these guys run like the Chinese in those 70s Chinese action movies. You got that same frantic run, you know, and they talk about being on a junk and everything. I thought, so are these guys Chinese because they run like those Chinese actors?
We never see guys. Their faces because they're wearing the masks.
And you know, I'm expecting something to explode in them all to go, wah! You know, and fly back. So then the Asian woman is reading this newspaper about the bombing hero of Nagasaki. She's reading it like it's present day, and I thought, huh? Wait a minute. What the fuck? And then the woman next to her says, oh, stop reading that. That was like almost 30 years ago. And I was like, oh, thank God. For a second, I thought they were violating, you know, like fashion, you know, or something.
So,
What else do I have for about this Dreck fest?
We're running into the problem that we just don't have anything to say about a Jess Franco women fucking each other in prison movie. There's just not much here to talk about.
Oh, there wasn't a shower scene. That's a weird thing for women in prison.
Oh, yeah, shower. What the hell?
How do you not have a shower scene, a communal shower scene, in a women in prison movie?
Oh, maybe he's trying something new.
There's always one.
maybe he shot one and cut it out thinking, am I doing too much here?
Am I going a step too far? Nah, give me a zoom in on the titties.
Because you know what would have, where a shower scene would have been perfect is after the torture where Shirley goes to the shower to try and, you know, get the tension off of her by taking a hot shower and letting all that wash
over. Yeah, and there just happens to be other women there. You know.
Yeah, and they say, you know, oh, what happened? Because nobody ever says, well, what the hell happened to you? They pretty much already know. They take her to the torture room. They go, oh, shit.
Oh, glad somebody, it's not me.
Somebody done fucked up.
And clearly they've all had it, because nobody comes up to her afterward when she jumps herself on the bed and everybody's asleep or half asleep. They're like, uh-huh.
I half expected that warden to get ripped apart by the women in some sort of mob sequence.
You know, it didn't seem like that kind of movie. The women seemed kind of either content to be there in their own little kingdom where they can deal with their stuff between women on their own with a little bit of interference from the guards, or like they would just be tamed by the torture room. Because they all know, they mostly know better, supposedly, except for that one woman who got whipped.
This is a very weird women in prison movie. It doesn't follow all the tropes, even though it wants to give you all those tropes.
Yeah, there wasn't like a dominating bull type woman who's like, everyone is my subject.
Well, there kind of was. I mean, there was that tall, slim, athletic woman guard, the lead guard in the t-shirt and the pants.
But she was one of the guards, not one of the inmates.
No, but she was one of those that you need in every woman in prison movie, but she wasn't like the big 300-pound, you know, middle-aged type.
Or your absolute dominatrix like your Ilsas and stuff.
Of the yeah. World. Yeah, we needed some of that kind of leather.
Or like how the warden was sleazy, yes, was kind of a douchebag, yes, but he wasn't this absolute masochistic son of a bitch motherfucker.
No, he struck me as more like a psychologist. You know, he's working on female psychology by way of torture and seduction and bribery, basically.
He was too respectable to be the warden for the prison.
This movie kind of escapes the all-out bitch fest you get from most of movies of this type. It kind of goes halfway there and then sort of peters out. I think maybe because it's just overplayed. I mean, these movies were saturating the market back then. This was just one on a long line. He wanted to do something different. I mean, with the lead female guard, she's dressed like she's in summer camp.
Well, I think part of it might be, like you mentioned, he was doing barbed wire dolls at the same time.
The quick story is that Jess Franco was shooting barbed wire dolls at the same time. And he had enough of a production budget on barbed wire that he could go and siphon a little bit off it and do another movie at the exact same time with the same cast and the same locations and more or less the same costumes with a tweaked script. And he's all like, I'm going to shoot this secondary movie, which is why they feel very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The story is that when the producer saw the movie, Jess Franco's movie, and he's like, wait a second, this looks like my, what the hell? You just, okay, I guess at least I got a decent one and this one stinks, so I win.
He might not have been able to focus as well on this, because I've watched that one and that one is a better movie than this one is. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably what happened. And I've noticed that Franco is not the best writer.
He's a writer?
As a writer, he is a much better producer.
Yeah. He needs a little bit of props, I think. Like I said, there are a few of his movies that are good and worthwhile. I remember one now, Golden Temple Amazons. That one actually is relatively okay.
Another GTA.
Yeah. That one's actually enjoyable. I've watched that one a couple times simply because it actually has some weird quirky value to it. It's a strange movie, but you know, strange can be good.
The only Franco movies I've seen have been the ones on the list.
Bloody Moon is another Joss Franco movie that I do enjoy. I'd watch that one a few more times.
Yeah, no, he's turning out not to be my favorite director because everything I've seen from him has been terrible.
I would have to say that out of the ones I've watched, and it seems like I'm probably the one that's watched the most of the three of us in the room, I would say probably about 80% of his movies are not all that good. And there's 20% of them that are either mediocre or okay, you know, moderately decent. I like Bloody Moon. I like Golden Temple Amazons. There's a handful of others I enjoy.
Well, the upside is that you'll get to correct that deficiency because there's plenty of Jess Franco coming up down the line.
I already own one, or owned. I don't remember if I jettisoned the zombie piece of shit, but on the list, of course. The moment I made my way down the list, good, Martin, good, Oasis of the Zombie. God damn it! No.
That is not one of his films that I enjoyed.
So, do we have anything else left to say about this piece of crap? I guess that speaks volumes. That's an episode then.
All right. Yep. The Jess said about it, the better.
So is Women Behind Bars nasty?
I think so. There's vaginal torture, which is the only really objectionable thing I think any woman would object to watching this. And I'm sure a lot of men. Nobody wants electrodes to the dick.
I actually skipped that past that particular sequence.
So you'd put it on the nasty list also?
Yes, yes.
My God, I'm surrounded by wusses, because I thought this movie was really tame. The nudity was gratuitous, but it, even for a women in prison movie, it wasn't very sleazy. So, no, I wouldn't put it anywhere near the list.
Even with the electroshock to the vag?
Even with the electroshock to the vag is pretty tame stuff. There's much worse stuff in some of the other Filipino women in prison movies.
Okay. Well, that's...
Well, I haven't seen any of them to compare. This is the only non-Nazi woman in prison movie I've seen recently other than... Human Experiments. Which is basically a prison thing with extreme humiliation.
Well, some women in prison movies are lacking in nudity. I've watched a few that are. Not very many. But, with the exception of the torture, this is a pretty tame film in many other regards.
And even with all that, it's still a pretty shitty pornographic movie. Jess Franco shoots it all out of focus and darkly lit, and so you can't even get titillation out of the thing if that's what you're angling for.
He just doesn't need to do certain shots the way he does it. You know, the full body shot is fine. You know, a pan up is fine, but you don't focus the camera in on the naughty bits.
All right, so on the list, off the list, and you're putting it on the list pretty much for the jumper cables to the vag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. So did you guys like this piece of shit movie called Women Behind Bars?
I'm a meh.
Meh.
I've totally tipped my hand, haven't I?
It's got a few good things, most of which involve naked women sprawled out on beds.
I mean, it does actually has a plot.
It does have a plot.
A pretty strong one.
That's, I think, why I didn't like it, because it has the potential for a plot. It has this great diamond heist whodunit, and it completely fails to capitalize it, and all Jess Franco wants to do is go shoot up-close blurry vag for 25 minutes. I'm like, no, you had a good thing, and you pissed it away for pornography.
It does. You're right. It does have a plot. I will agree with it. And it's a fairly interesting plot when they actually are focusing on it, which they're not most of the film. But when they are, it's actually kind of interesting. And some of the relationships between the women inmates is interesting. And some of the dynamics between the insurance guy and other people that he's encountering is interesting. I hated his voiceover. But, I mean, there's some good things about this movie.
And the worst part of it is it commits the most terrible sin that an exploitation movie can do. It's just boring. It's just this long, boring, flabby bit in the middle.
The most interesting bits are, with all honesty, is when Martine Steidel or Lena Romay are sprawled out naked on their beds.
All right, so a couple of mehs and a strongly no from me. So I guess that wraps it up then, doesn't it?
Yep.
Pretty much.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Save your battery and your disposition. When it rains, you can still enjoy the movie with a Drizzle Guard rain visor. Simply press suction cups to the windshield as shown in the detail on your instruction sheet. Drizzle Guards are on sale now at the concession stand.
Hasta la vista, Jess Franco, because we're all done with you. And, more importantly, we're all done with the 72 movies that the DPP tried to censor. That's right, we're done, yay! But we're not quite done yet. Since we did all the heavy lifting for you, and we've watched everything, let us compile a list of 10 or 15 or so of the most definitive movies, the movies that you should go seek out if you're into this sort of thing. So join us again here next week for that, and we'll catch you then. Stay evil.
Men are all rotten. True. But you still miss them.